everybody. Good morning, Grace Church. Welcome, family. Good to see you today. Turn to somebody sitting nearby and tell them you're glad to see them on campus today. So glad to see all of you here today. Amen. Those joining on live stream and Facebook Live, welcome. Glad you're a part of the service today. Before we begin our worship set, let me just remind you of a couple things, just two things today. Don't forget Tuesday morning prayer this Tuesday right here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock. If you're able to come pray in that time slot, we wholeheartedly invite you. There's great things happening in Tuesday prayer, and if you can, you will want to be a part of that. And then don't forget next Sunday, Move the Mission cake auction right after church over in the Alexander Center. You know what this is all about. You get to take home some really, really delicious desserts and at the same time help support Move the Mission, help our youth group raise money. So come and be prepared for that next Sunday. Amen. If you got it, say, I got it. Awesome. Good. You're a great crowd. Amen. Amen. I do want to, again, welcome all of you here in a especially want to welcome Brother Jared Humphers with us. He is right over here on the keyboard helping our praise team today. And we're so glad he's here. He comes from the Pentecostals of Alexandria. Glad he's here in our service today helping us out. And traveling with him is Brother Howard Bryant. We're glad they're here today. Can we just give them a good Grace Church welcome? Stand with me if you would this morning. I want to begin today by going to the Lord in prayer, and we certainly want to pray for the service, pray that God's will be done, that his anointing will flow, and I like to say I want to leave knowing that the presence of the Lord was here and that I recognized it and that I was a part of it. So let's pray to that end today. Also, a couple of other very special requests. Of course, Pastor and Sister Murphy are with our quizzers in St. Charles, Missouri. Today, this weekend, the next few days, is Nationals, Bible Quiz Nationals, and so they are up there quizzing, a lot of quizzing they've done already, a lot left to do, and we want to pray that God will help them, bless them, give them favor, help them to do their best, but also last year, we had the opportunity to attend this event, and I want to tell you, the spiritual benefit to our quizzers and to the young people that are involved in quizzing all over the nation. The spiritual benefit of this event is unparalleled. You can imagine an environment where the Word of God is going forth all day, every day for 5 or 6 days. And then they come in and they have devotion, they have service, they have prayer. And God does some amazing things in the lives of our young people, our Bible quizzers at this event. And so let's pray about that as well, that they'll leave changed by the Word of God and changed by the presence of God. And then finally, one last request. We have a very special request today for Isabella Pitts. Isabella Pitts is Brother Henry's granddaughter, Lisa's niece, and she has a very serious, urgent physical need today, and they have asked the church to pray for Isabella. So all of these things today, would you join me, and let's pray, and then we're going to go right into our worship set, and I've come with a feeling of expectation, believing what God's going to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today, church. Jesus, we thank you. I know your presence is here. I've already felt you today, Jesus. Your word has gone forth all over campus and Sunday school. And now here we are, Lord, in our 11 o'clock service to give you great worship, great praise to a great God. And I pray over these requests today, Lord. I pray for Isabella, Lord. I pray that you would heal her to the uttermost, God. I believe that you can do a work even now, even this moment in that hospital. I pray, Lord, for our Bible quizzers. I pray for the entire conference, the national gathering there, Lord, that your presence would be among them, that you would save, deliver, and heal, that you would challenge, that you would grow, that you would help them to be everything that you want them to be. Give our quizzers favor, help them to do their best. And I pray today your presence would be manifest in this service, and we ask it all in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord today, and let's worship the Lord together.
Ever stand against your life. There is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. has ever left a mark on you. There is no army with the power to conquer true. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won.
Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
It's possible.
There is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light, and in his kingdom, every dead thing is bound to rise. Oh God, our Redeemer, he is faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Show He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me what else he can't find. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
It's possible. Come on, lift him up this morning. If you believe that anything is possible with God,
my fear, I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in vain. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear, I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in vain. I will crush disappointment. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Wonderful, merciful, miracle.
on that name right now? Would you just say the name Jesus? There's something about that name. When you say the name of Jesus, things begin to happen. Miracles come into being, into fruition. Anything is possible. Oh yes, oh yes. Just another moment. Can we give Him great praise? Great praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. As we worshiped and praised the name of Jesus today, I looked out over the congregation and I saw hands raised. I saw tears flowing. I saw your mouth moving in praise to God. And there's just something about stepping into an atmosphere like this one, and you identify that this is something real. This is something divine. This is something that can change my life. And you realize then that the next thing you realize is that the God of all glory, the God of all creation, has chosen to dwell in our midst today, and that we are fellowshipping with a divine presence, the divine God, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. I'm thankful today to be in the presence of God. I'm thankful today to be in a place where truth is being proclaimed, where there's something real that I can hold on to, where there's something real that I can feel and know that God is in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. As you return to your seat, remain standing for just a moment. I know you've been standing a long time. I won't keep you standing long. But as you return to your seat, I do want to just say that we are so happy today to have Brother and Sister Fassbinder with us back there, Brother Marty and Sister Rachel. We congratulate them. They were married last weekend. All right, how about that? Thank you, Brother Ethan. Let there be sound. Amen. Since we started the service, we had a very special and honored guest come in, and I want to welcome him today, Mr. Jude Benjamin Castile here. Heather and Daniel, congratulations. This will be his first Sunday at Grace Church, so we welcome him to the family, and welcome home. Glad y'all are here. Congratulations, and welcome Jude to the church. Amen. Amen. Somebody told us when our two were born, said, don't blink. Don't blink. It goes by fast. And so we said, okay, we're not going to blink. We're gonna take every moment. We're going to enjoy it, and it still goes fast. They grow up quick. So enjoy every moment, Daniel and Heather, and he will be a blessing in your life. I know he already has been. Amen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. One verse of scripture, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. I'll read in your hearing, and then we'll be seated. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, there's a lot of talk and debate and a lot been written and studied about who exactly they are. Who are they talking about here? But remember, the book of Revelation, just like all of divinely inspired scripture, was written to the church. And so regardless of who is being addressed here specifically, the book of Revelation written to the church, we can draw spiritual truth from this. And so it is applicable to us today. We can say that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it's that last piece that I want to talk to you about today, the word of my testimony. If you're going to help me preach this morning, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, I believe everybody here today wants to be an overcomer. Amen? I know I do. I want to be an overcomer in this last day and in this spiritual race that we're running. I want to cross the finish line. In the spiritual war that we're in, fighting, I want to come out victorious. I want to overcome the enemy today. So any instructions that I'm given, any information that I have, anything that I can apply to my life that will help me win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. And the author of Revelation has given us some very specific ways, two very specific ways by which we can overcome in this our day. The author is called John the Beloved. He is the apostle who wrote about love more than any other writer of Scripture. He was also the one the Bible says that Jesus loved. I don't know that he necessarily loved him more than the others, but the Bible does say John was the disciple that Jesus loved. What's fascinating to me about the life of John is that he was the last living disciple, the last one that had been a part of those 12 men that were part of Jesus' earthly ministry. John is the last one, and he's the last one standing, last one living, if you will, when he's writing these words. He's exiled now to the Isle of Patmos. Those who have opposed his ministry have sent him there to die. But very important, very emphatically, when he begins writing his book of Apocalypse, his book of Revelation, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So it's within the Isle of Patmos, and it's within the Spirit of God that he begins to get some awesome and fantastic revelation that he pens and he writes, and we now call the book of Revelation. And tucked away in here in his writing, he gives us this little phrase that we've read today. They overcame him. They overcame the wicked one. They overcame the opposer of their souls. They overcame the enemy, the opposition, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So let me not fail to mention the first here for just a moment in passing. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We understand the blood is a source of forgiveness, but it's also a source of healing, for by his stripes we were healed. It's also a source of peace. The chastisement of our peace was on him. You understand, the blood forgives, it heals, it gives us peace, it saves, and it brings us great overcoming power. And one thing is certain, we will not prevail in this hour. We will not be overcomers in this day without the redeeming blood of Jesus. It all kind of starts there by having his blood applied to our life. Way back in 1903, there was a songwriter by the name of G.A. Young, and he wrote a song called God Leads Us Along. And a hymn from 1903 is quite a long distance from where we're sitting today. But back in the 90s, B.B. and C.C. Winan took the chorus of Young's song and put it into a more modern format, and that's the version I like. They just called it the blood. But this is the chorus that they sing. Some through the fire, some through the flood, but we're all overcomers if we trust in the blood. I'm thankful for the blood. It's what makes us overcome. There's no sin that the blood can't forgive. There's no power of hell that can come against you that the blood can't withstand. I'm thankful for the overcoming power of the blood, and I choose to trust in the blood. But added to that, we overcome by the blood. He adds another element that we want to talk about today. He says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and he doesn't say preaching. We need preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, the lost will be saved. He didn't say they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and signs and wonders. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school today. We need signs and wonders. I believe that the church will be distinct and that we will draw those that need God through signs and wonders. I believe it was a distinctive of the first the apostolic church in the book of Acts. But he didn't say signs and wonders. He didn't say the blood of the Lamb and praise and worship. We need praise and worship. Worship is very important. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He didn't say they'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and prayer. We need prayer. Might talk about prayer very soon in another session, but we absolutely have to be praying. Pastor's been doing a fantastic study on Wednesday night on prayer. It's very fascinating then that if we pause for a moment and really look at this verse, that the element that John adds to the blood of the Lamb is none of those things. To have overcoming power, it takes the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's just something about our testimony that puts the enemy on the run. You know what I like to say about your testimony? Tell you about my testimony. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's your testimony. It's my testimony. And nobody can take that from me. You know what God did for you. I know what God's done for me. And nobody's going to talk me out of that. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise. I know what God has done in my life. And there's just something about reaching back in your file and pulling out a filing cabinet of what God has done in your life to remember where he brought you from, to remember the sin that he delivered you from, to remember the time when your babies were sick and you laid hands on them and they were healed, to remember the time when there wasn't enough money in the bank and God provided financial resources for you, didn't know where they came from, to declare your testimony passionately and anointedly, something begins to happen. Heaven pays attention. Hell gets scared. God gets the glory, and you become an overcomer. That's the power of your testimony. But it holds no power until you tell it. That's why he says the word of our testimony. We overcome by the spoken word of our testimony. See, when you activate your faith, begin to speak of the goodness of God in your life. When words are formed and breath comes out of your mouth, something very powerful starts to happen. For one thing, it builds faith. Now, that might seem a little obvious. We know that, you know, if I come and share my testimony with you, that's going to build your faith, hopefully. If you're into it and you're on the same page and you're not a skeptic, that should build your faith when I tell you what God did for me. But have you ever considered the fact, and remember, we're talking about overcoming. We're talking about overcoming by the word of our testimony. Have you ever considered the power that is in your testimony when you testify to yourself? Now, maybe you do this. If you don't, I encourage you to try. But have you ever testified to yourself while you were praying? Oh, yeah, yeah. You got it. You go to God and you have a need. A big need. You need. There's healing that needs to happen. Forgiveness that needs to happen. A financial miracle. If God, if you don't move, I don't know what I'm going to do if you don't move in my life. And you begin to pray along those lines. But then you take that and turn it around. And you begin to say, God, I remember the last time I came to you and I asked you to move on my behalf, and look what you did. And I remember, Lord, when I my babies were sick and you healed them. I remember, Lord, when I was in danger and didn't even know it and you protected me. I remember when I prayed in Jesus' name and the doctor scratched their head and said, I don't know where this came from. And God, I know you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm talking about testifying the word of your testimony to yourself. Building your own faith, reminding yourself of what God can do in your life because he's done it before. It's the overcoming power of a spoken testimony. I encourage you, Grace Church, this is it's a preaching point, but it's not just a preaching point. I'm encouraging you, if you don't already, in your prayer, you remind God of what he's done in the past and see if your faith doesn't begin to rise and you're all of a sudden your chin is raised, your head is high, your shoulders are squared, and you're walking with a pep in your step because you've got confidence in the God that can do all things. Oftentimes in our grace steps, I teach grace steps for new members from time to time, and there's certain points within the four-week grace step course that I'll share various elements of our testimony with the group. And this last go-round, we were doing grace steps, of course, and got to the point, and I shared my testimony. And I didn't necessarily say anything to the group, but it occurred to me while I was testifying out loud, sharing some of the good things God has done in my life and in my family, I began to feel a little bit of the Holy Ghost. You know, I got kind of felt my spirits rise. We do those on Wednesday nights, so typically it's been a long day, and I'm a little tired, and all of a sudden I didn't feel so tired. I started feeling kind of good, and I realized that I really enjoy talking about what God has done in my life. Really enjoy telling others about how good God is. And something that happens there when you begin to do that. It just, something engages and ignites. And besides building faith, I think one of the most important reasons we should speak our testimony and tell it every chance we get is so that we will remember, so that it is not forgotten. You know, you've read about this, you've studied. There are entire languages, groups of languages and dialects that have died off. They're not spoken anymore. We don't even know, in some cases, how to speak them or how they would have been spoken. They died off because they weren't shared. They weren't spoken. They weren't told. And one generation didn't pass them on to the next. And they got forgotten, and we call them dead languages. They weren't remembered. God forbid that ever happened with our testimony. With the good news of what God has done for us. Don't ever let it be forgotten. The only way it can be remembered, the only way it can be passed down, is if we rehearse it, we recite it, we tell it. It's the word of our testimony. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little bit of my testimony. Is that all right? I want to remember. I want you to know. I want it to be told. I feel blessed. In my particular upbringing, my dynamic, my dad, on my dad's side, he's what we would call a new convert. I'm going to tell you about that. And then on my mom's side, it would be generational apostolic. So I feel blessed to have both elements in my life, and I'll unpack that for you and tell you what I mean in just a minute. But on my dad's side, my dad, he was raised in a denominational church in the heartland of America. Back, he was born in 48, so back in the 50s and 60s would have been his childhood. Raised in a denominational church, didn't have much impact on his life. He graduated high school and joined the Army. And at the age of 19, he found himself in Vietnam. And to most of many of these young fellas here are between the ages of, say, 18 and 20, so to me, it seems awfully young. Now that I have an 18-year-old in my house, it seems very, very young to be in the jungles of Vietnam. But there he was, 19 years old, fighting a war that he and no one else really understood. A year later, he came home so psychologically damaged from the experiences of jungle warfare, severe depression, searching, like so many in the hippie generation, just searching for something. And one night, it all just kind of came to a zenith. It all came to a breaking point. And he became suicidal, so depressed, so just strung out from his experiences in Vietnam and the horror of that jungle warfare. And he decided the best thing to do would just be to end his life. What does it all mean? What is it all for? I'm desperate, and I just don't know where to go from here. He put the gun to his head, and before he pulled the trigger, he remembered a little pocket New Testament that he had, and he kept it in the front pocket of his shirt all throughout Vietnam. He felt like that's what got him through his part of the war. And he remembered that New Testament. He went and grabbed it, put the gun down, went and grabbed it, and got a hold of it in a bear hug, and cried himself to sleep. Just desperate, desperation of the worst kind. No way out. And somewhere my dad testifies, in the middle of the night, he fell asleep crying, holding on to that New Testament. Somewhere in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord appeared in his room, bent down and kissed him on the forehead, and then departed. And the next thing my dad remembered as the sun shining through the window and the birds singing. And he said, for the first time in a long time, he felt hope. He felt hope. He felt like that he had a future. Wasn't long after that that Tim and Carol Seminole began teaching him a home Bible study. He walked into the doors of the First Pentecostal Church on Victoria Drive, went down to a Pentecostal altar, repented of his sins. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name, and his life was never the same. God changed him, took care of suicide, took care of depression, took care of all those things, gave him a future. And I'm standing here today because God forever altered the trajectory of my dad's life. First generation apostolic, coming out of all of that, knowing what God can do, knowing the power of the Holy Ghost, knowing the ability of God to change a life. That's on my dad's side. And I can tell you, I grew up in a home that there was a lot of faith, a lot of zeal, a lot of passion. And he wrote a bunch of songs under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, beautiful songs, recorded them. He's a musician and singer. And God did some tremendous things with his life, and still to this day. So that's on my dad's side. On my mom's side, the story's a little bit different. On my mom's side, we go back I'm the fourth generation apostolic. But if you count Spirit-filled speaking in tongues, we can go back five generations from me. So that makes my children the sixth generation Holy Ghost-filled speaking in tongues, five generations apostolic. It's a heritage for which I'm very thankful. And every once in a while, my mom will tell the stories. I got her going yesterday because I knew I was going to be preaching this. She didn't know why I was asking her, but I wanted to get the story right. But she tells a story. Her grandmother, my great-grandmother, and her aunt would be her grandmother's daughter. They would walk to the Brush Arbor, not the tent revival. This is going back. This would be in the 30s probably, something like that, late 20s, early 30s. They would walk to the Brush Arbor, sawdust on the floor. And my mom told me yesterday, I remember my great-grandmother a little bit from when I was a kid. She was a very stoic lady, very pious and proud and didn't show a lot of emotion. And my mom said the story is in the family that as a young lady, when my great-grandmother got the Holy Ghost hit her, knocked her down, and she rolled in sawdust, got it in her hair. God didn't turn her loose. They walked her home drunk in the Holy Ghost. Back then, you walked to church. They walked her home drunk in the Holy Ghost, taking care of all that pride. That's my heritage. My mom was the very first. She was one of the very first youth campers in that very first youth camp at Tioga. She is the OG youth camper at Tioga. My mama is. So then she, as a young lady, she moved to St. Louis, and she worked at what she calls headquarters. It is the headquarters building of the United Pentecostal Church International. And at one point, she held a lot of different responsibility there, but at one point, she was the personal assistant of the wife of the general superintendent at the time, Brother Chambers. And so my mom knows Becton's and Chambers and Urshan's and all those names from history. That's my heritage on that side. And so then God bless me, and I have the same dynamic in my home. Farah is first generation Pentecost. She has an awesome testimony. Walked in off the street to a Pentecostal church. Didn't have a whole lot in terms of support from her family. Didn't have a lot of input spiritually. She walks in, gets the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. God changes her life forever. As I mentioned, I'm multi-generational on my side, so we have that dynamic in our marriage, in our ministry. So what I'm saying is this. That's part of my testimony. And I wanted you to hear it today. I wanted to tell it and let you know. So on my one side, I want to always have what we call the spirit of the new convert. To have crazy faith. To have adventurous faith. To understand that my walk with God is a wild frontier waiting to be explored. Knowing that God can do anything. Knowing where I came from. knowing where I would have been if it hadn't been for Jesus on my side, knowing that if he hadn't brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay, where would I be? That's one part of my spiritual personality. But on the other side, I'm so thankful that I had a great-grandmother that would pray for a grandbaby and a great-grandbaby that she never even knew was coming. I'm thankful that somebody was willing to pay a price for a heritage, to pass on a truth to me. And I value that today. And I'm doing my best to pass it on to my kids. I'm thankful for the heritage of my testimony. But all of that has to be spoken. You may be seated. All that has to be spoken. It doesn't help me overcome. It doesn't give me power unless I speak it and I remember what God has done. If I keep silent, the enemy wins. But if I tell it, I overcome. Hebrews chapter 11, bottom line, just records a bunch of testimonies. In the King James, for the most part, it uses the word report. It says they obtained a good report. New King James and other translations use the word testimony. And I'm not stretching scripture or trying to bend verses to fit my point. It's the truth. If you read through Hebrews chapter 11, bottom line, it's a testament, a testimony of some great things God did for a lot of people. Amen. So let's look at it. I'm going to read to you from the New King James to make the point. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained, New King James, a good testimony. Go down to verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, let's jump down to verse 32. Pastor read this here not long ago in a message in a different context. And I'm going to read it again. It to me, it is powerful, powerful, powerful. This is testimonies now. We're talking about testimonies. Hebrews 11, 32. What more shall I say? Now, he's just gone through a long line from Abraham and Enoch and all these folks, Sarah, and then he just says, what more can I say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. And then check out what they did. Through faith they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. This sounds like a pretty good testimony to me. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, but did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect from us. So watch this now. We go to chapter 12. And for us, there's a break. But remember, verses and chapters were added much, much later just for our reference and so we could easily identify certain passages of scriptures. But the original writer, this would have been a continuation of their thought. There's not a break there. It's just a continuation of the thoughts. So chapter 12 brings us into it. And this is we're getting close to making our point here. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, we've just read all of their testimony, then let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, when he says, therefore we also, in other words, in light of these amazing testimonies, let us also walk in understanding that we are a living testimony right now. So look at it this way. I like to call Hebrews chapter 11 God's faith book page. It's the heroes of faith, God's faith book page. So if he's posting all these testimonies on his Facebook page, what is your testimony that he's going to post on his Facebook page? I'm going to tell you today, it's important to speak your testimony because your testimony is being recorded. Not like these people in Scripture, but it is being recorded in heaven, in God's Facebook page. So the question is, are you telling your testimony so that it can be remembered, so that it can be recorded? What will we say about you? Will we say, by faith, you believe God and God healed you? Will we say, by faith, you came to an altar and repented of your sins and you saw God save? Will we say, by faith, you saw God make a way and there was no way? What I'm saying is this, when we record our testimony, when we remember our testimony, and we speak our testimony, somebody may say, well, there you go, you're just telling your testimony again. You say, oh no, I'm not just telling my testimony again, I'm overcoming. I'm not just telling my testimony again, I'm doing some things under my feet. I'm not just telling my story, I'm one of those like the apostles that are turning their world upside down. This is not just a testimony, it's an overcoming testimony. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the great thing about the word of your testimony and sharing your testimony, you don't have to have a degree in theology to share your testimony with somebody. You don't have to go to Bible school to tell about what God has done for you. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, you know, I'm a little more reserved. I'm shy, laid back. I don't really like talking about myself. That's not true. Look at your Facebook page. Look at your Instagram feed. You love talking about yourself. Turn it around and tell about the goodness of God. Post something about what God's done in your life. Give somebody the good news of your testimony. You like talking about yourself. It's just got to be in the right environment. Amen. Amen. So, you say, well, maybe you're here today and maybe your testimony is not real pretty. You got what we would call a past. How can my testimony be an overcoming testimony? You don't know the pain I've been through. You don't know the past that I carry with me. You say, I don't even want to go into all that. And the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to go into all that. Let me tell you about the power of an overcoming testimony. We talk a lot about the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to get a picture here on the screen in just a moment. We talk about the Ark of the Covenant. In many places in Scripture, and I'm going to demonstrate this to you in just a moment. In many places in Scripture, it's referred to as the Ark of the Testimony. Testimony, Testament, Old and New Testament. The Ark of Witness, all of these are very similar words, and at times, the Bible uses them interchangeably. And so, the Ark of the Covenant, specifically, is oftentimes referred to as the Ark of the Testimony. For instance, if you were to look up Revelation 11 and 19, the Bible says the temple of heaven will be open, and the Ark of Testimony will be there. It's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, what we know as the Ark of the Covenant. At least as late as the writing of Hebrews, there were three items in the Ark of the Testimony. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. The first phrase is referring to something in verse 3. So let's pick up here. The Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein, or inside of which, was the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. In other words, the Ten Commandments. So the Ark of the Testimony included the manna, the law, and the rod that budded. So in my personal Ark of Testimony, in your personal Ark of Testimony, there's manna, which is the provision of God, the miracles of God. You can reach back and say, I remember a time when God provided. He gave me manna. That is a source from heaven that I didn't have before. He made a way where I didn't think there was any way. That's part of my personal testimony. Inside your personal testimony, you have the law, the tablets of stone. This is the character of God. It's the covenant we've made with God. So we have our experience with and in the character of God, the time that he saved you, he redeemed you, brought you out of darkness into marvelous light, and his law was written on the tablets of your heart. And then in your personal testimony, you have the rod that budded. I don't have time to give you the background, but miraculously Aaron's rod budded with almond leaves. And it just represents authority. So we all have a God-given authority. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. These are things where we see the hand of God, the authority of God, the power of God. These are things that are in our personal ark of testimony. But the problem is what if you don't want to talk about your personal testimony? There's some things there that are just so painful, so hurtful. The relationships that were broken and people that were broken in my life and people that broke me and the past that I don't even want to drag back up and you're talking about testimony, but I don't want to give my testimony. Let me show you the beautiful thing about the Ark of the Testimony. Exodus chapter 30, verse 6. Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the Ark of Testimony. Here it is. Before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. Over the Ark of Testimony, over the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, the cherubim. Show them that picture. Put the picture back up. Where the cherubim's wings overlapped, beneath those wings, that space is called the mercy seat. The priest would sprinkle the blood once a year on that mercy seat for the atonement of sin. That's the place where God's presence would come down once sin had been atoned for and would dwell on that mercy seat. That is what covers the testimony. That is what covers the Ark of the Testimony. So what I'm preaching to you today is that it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what's in your past. Your testimony is covered by the blood. Your testimony is covered by the mercy of God. That's why John said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because overshadowing all of it is the blood and the mercy of God. You don't have to tell all of the details of your past. God doesn't even remember them. You don't have to remember them. All you've got to say is, I know I was taken out of the miry clay and I was set on a rock to stay. All you got to say is, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light of heaven filled my soul. All you got to say is that I have a testimony about where God brought me from. So I would tell you today, stop letting the devil push you around and make you feel ashamed of your past. Stop letting him whisper in your ear that you're not anything and won't ever amount to anything. You know the best remedy for that? Give him your testimony. Tell him, I'm not all that I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be either. You just remind him, devil, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come in, and I'm blessed when I go out. Everything that God has done for you is part of your testimony. And when you say that, you confirm the goodness of God. And you annihilate the power of the enemy. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Musicians and singers, come. I'm coming in for a landing here. A great example of what I'm trying to communicate to you today is found in the New Testament. It's the woman that broke the alabaster box, anointed Jesus' feet with that perfume, anointed his feet with her tears, dried it with her hair. That story is told twice in the Gospels. And then Luke gives a third account. He tells a very similar story about a woman that broke the alabaster box and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, dried with her hair. It's not clear if Luke is telling the same story or if it happened twice. There's some debate about whether this event happened twice, two different women, two different times of worship, or is Luke supplementing the other stories? Not clear. There is enough context, though. I went back and read it. There's enough context that we can say effectively, we could take the position that Luke is telling the same story. There's enough there that we could take that position and be on solid ground. So when the woman comes in, she breaks the alabaster box, anoints Jesus' feet with her tears, dries it with her hair. The disciples are indignant. They're indignant. They say, this is a waste. This should have been sold for 300 denarii and sold and given to the poor. They just absolutely are not into the moment at all. And Jesus says this. He says, leave her alone and forget all that business. He said, from this point on, wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told as a memorial. And I would just say as a testimony of this woman. Everywhere the gospel is preached, this testimony will be given of the woman. But Luke alone adds a detail about this scenario. In the other gospels, it just says a certain woman came to Jesus. But Luke says the disciples were not only indignant because it was a waste in their eyes, they were indignant because this woman was a sinner. That was the problem. She was a sinner and had no business being at Jesus' feet. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this woman's worship will be given as a testimony. Not her sinful past, not where she came from, not that she had seven demons cast out of her, not all of the horrible history. What will be remembered about her is that she worshiped the God of mercy. She worshiped the God of great forgiveness. And she anointed him in advance of the precious blood that would be spilled on Calvary. I want to tell you just one verse prior to our text today, that we would overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. John says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us. He stands in accusation against us in our past. But then he comes right back and says, you've overcome that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I know what I used to be. I know the pit from which I came. But I also know a God who is rich in mercy. I also know what Paul wrote in Romans, said, such were some of you, but you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified by the name of the Lord Jesus. Overshadowing all of our testimony is the great mercy of God in the blood of Jesus, making it a testimony worth telling and making it an overcoming testimony. I want you to stand with me this morning. We'll give God an opportunity to work in this place today. So the altar call today will be for two groups of people. First of all, there may be those here, possibly the majority of those here. You want to just come and celebrate what God's done in your life. Celebrate your testimony, good things God has done. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you have a need and you need God to move. And you want to come down today to the altar and remind God of your testimony. Remind yourself of your testimony and that God will do it again for you. The altar call is for you today. But there may be another group here today. Maybe you're in a similar situation like my dad was. You've not been in a Pentecostal church before, or maybe not very long. And maybe you've got some things in your life that need God to take care of. You need God to bring you into a closer walk with Him, a closer relationship with Him. I want to tell you today, in these altars, you can come and repent before God. Say, I'm tired of that old life. I want to be something new in you. He will take those sins and wash them away. He'll put you on a new path. You'll begin speaking in another tongue as God fills you with His Spirit, and you'll never be the same today. That opportunity is open in these altars today. That opportunity is in these altars today. Suicide, no problem. Sin, no problem. Despair, no problem. Needs, no problem. I'm talking about a God that can give you a testimony today. Would you come, everybody? Everybody come today. Everybody in this place falls into one of those groups. Would you come down? Would you come and let God minister today? Oh, come on, Grace Church. God, I'm celebrating my testimony. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, God, I need a testimony. Either way, these altars are open. Either way, God is going to work. Oh, you're overcoming today by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. What an opportunity. What an opportunity we've been given to see God do some amazing things right now. Come on, through the eyes of the Spirit. I see Him restoring. I see Him healing. I see Him forgiving. I see Him doing awesome things. That's beautiful. Oh, somebody just tune in to the channel of the Spirit right now. What God would say, what God would do, what God would speak. In Jesus' name.
Your voice, you have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have faith in the goodness.
All my life you have.
will see.